Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. These days, we can hardly pick up a newspaper or look at a news website without seeing stories about some new and often huge data breach. The big one this past week revealed that hackers had lifted the names, social security numbers, and birth dates of 309,000 individuals who were issued a university ID card since 1998 at the University of Maryland. That follows the much larger recent breach at Target, which revealed credit card information for 40 million accounts and name and password information for another 70 million or so customer accounts. And we've seen another half dozen major successful attacks, at least the ones we know about, just in the past several weeks between those two large breaches. Do these attacks, though, actually matter, or are they just headline-grabbing facts which don't affect real people's lives? Unfortunately, they do affect people's lives. They have serious and nearly immediate ramifications for millions and for companies. Banks and credit unions have spent almost $200 million so far in the aftermath just of the Target breach, issuing new credit cards and eating a lot of the fraud that began happening on the hacked card accounts. Identity fraud has become a huge problem in the U.S. and around the world. In the U.S. alone in 2012, there were 12.6 million cases of identity fraud, according to the 2013 Identity Fraud Report issued by Javelin Strategy and Research. The amount involved in those thefts? Almost $21 billion. Put in slightly more graspable terms, in the U.S. in 2012, one person was affected by identity theft every 3 seconds. Gulp. So, what are folks to do about these data breaches? Well, we could stop using credit cards. Not very likely. We could stop using computers for email and web searches and online purchases. Not very likely. We could demand that universities and doctor's offices and other non-financial institutions stop using a social security number for ID purposes. Very good idea. But even if that were to eventually happen, it'll take time. Or maybe we could have an online data guardian that could protect us from fraud. That's one of the ideas that IBM floated in this year's 5 in 5 report, which stands for 5 technological developments that will change the way we live our lives within 5 years. As we've mentioned in past episodes, the IBM 5 in 5 predictions have been considerably more accurate than most tech predictions in the past. So maybe it's worth taking a peek at this one, especially in this age of huge data collection and huge data storage breaches. The basic idea is to use the data that people generate about themselves through the use of their computers, their cell phones, credit card purchases, and the other electronic breadcrumbs we leave behind ourselves every day. The idea is to let a machine learn about the patterns we all generate in our lives and to alert us if something anomalous occurs. Here's how IBM envisions a data guardian working, as described on their website. Quote, over the next 5 years, this guardian of big data will analyze and learn from your online behavior patterns, going back months and years to know what to protect. And when it detects a possible breach, you'll be the first to know. This cognitive system currently tracks several different security anomalies. It also incorporates security measures such as fingerprint and facial recognition. So, as it understands what you secure and how, it can even make decisions for you, per your instructions and permission. Not trying to buy a jetpack because you're afraid of heights? Your digital guardian will know this and won't let this daredevil with your credit card buy it either. Hopefully, it won't come to the point of a breach in the first place. IBM and its partners are layering in always-aware intelligence. You can't be in two places at once. So, if the smartphone you accidentally left at a restaurant is being fondled by fraudulent fingers, the pervasive system will recognize the offender's different touch pattern, even if your phone is unlocked, and lock your account. In another example, imagine two purchases, $40 at a gas station and $4,000 at Tiffany & Company. Today's fraud monitoring might see the diamond purchase as highly suspicious and ignore the charge at the pump. But your digital guardian will know that your car has a near full tank of fuel, that you don't usually refuel until you're down to a quarter tank, not to mention that you're at the office when this charge appears. It will also know that you've been shopping for an engagement ring and have been spending your lunch hour window shopping outside the store. This and other emerging learning systems will know you, help you, and protect you as we continue to generate more and more data and put more and more of our lives online. End quote. So, how does the idea of a data guardian like this sound to us? On the one hand, it may sound pretty darn good to have a digital guardian looking after us in this age when identity fraud affects someone every 3 seconds in this country. On the other hand, a person might be forgiven if he or she wonders whether the answer to the dangers of too much data mining is even more data mining. Presumably, this very comprehensive history of a person's behaviors, preferences, locations, purchases, and so on will have to be stored somewhere. And so far, no one has been able to come up with an unhackable storage facility, including all the branches of the military and even, as we've seen recently, the NSA. Might the Data Guardian be just one more treasure trove of data about us for hackers to dive into? No way to tell just yet, but the odds are pretty good that we'll see some version of this kind of Data Guardian emerge in the not-too-distant future. Whether it will be a solution to fraud or just another more extensive contributor to it remains to be seen. In the meantime, we should all watch our digital backs and check all our accounts. Bank, credit card, gas, whatever, so that if we do become one of those victims of identity theft, we'll know it sooner rather than later. We'll do the best we can to help you watch your digital back and to look ahead with your digital front, right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.